Hello, hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sorry. Technical difficulties. Amazing, isn't it? Well, this is Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou, and this is Louis Patron bringing you the show again this week. I want to tell you something. Thank you for listening. This is my sixth week, and I was getting a little despondent because they give me the statistics, the station Blog Talk Radio every week, and my numbers weren't that great. I was building, but not as much as I wanted to. I started the show with 8 listeners 6 weeks ago. I'm happy to tell you that I had just 800 listeners this past week. Isn't that amazing? Just under 800. And most of you are not listening to me live tonight, but you're listening to the archive show, which is run 2 to 4 times a day, every day. And I thank the 1,800 of you, whether you listen on Tuesday night or you listen any other day of the week. I'm thrilled that you are joining me. All right, I'm going to tell you again, this is a talk show. I hope somebody calls and we talk. Whether we do or not, I don't mind talking. I begin to think people might prefer hearing from me as opposed to me chatting with someone. But I love discourse. I love talking with people, and I would enjoy it. Someone would call me. You had the call-in number on your screen, 646-478-5731. We can talk of many things tonight. We can talk about, I'd like to talk about, there's no middle class in this country, and I make that observation again, this time, based on where the stock market ended today, over 14,250 points, the biggest ever, my God. And what's happening? There are haves and have-nots. We'll get into it after. Sequestration. We're into sequestration. How terrible is it going to be? Have the Democrats, you know, BS'd us a bit? Is this going to be nothing or is it going to be something? Then there's Anheuser-Busch and the Budweiser beer. I want to talk about that. The alcohol level is less than what it's supposed to be. It's not what's advertised on the label. They have been accused of watering down their beers, including Budweiser. And they've come back with a response now. I have an interesting facet of Medicare to share with you that I just learned this morning that I was totally unaware of, and I think you all should be aware of it. And then there's my favorite theme, if we're going to get outside of current events, and that's Syracuse basketball. There has to be some out there who are interested in Syracuse basketball, and we had our head handed to us the last 3 games. We only have 2 games left against DePaul tomorrow, who I assume we're going to beat, but nothing is guaranteed anymore in Syracuse basketball, and then Georgetown on Saturday. So, okay, where are you? 646-478-5731. Okay, let's talk about no middle class. And the reason I bring that up, this up is that, again, the stock market today, 14,250-something. That's a lot of points. It means that the corporations are doing well in this country. And the top 1 or 2% who are invested in those corporations heavily are doing well in this country. But what about the middle class? I have taken the position recently that there is really no longer a middle class in this country. It's either you're poor or you're in the low class. You don't have to be poor to be in the low class. You just can't afford everything anymore that you could afford 10 years ago. College education, an extra pair of shoes or sneaks for the kids, gasoline costs not wearing on your back, holding you down, cost of groceries not going up. You could afford to take the whole family to the movies and buy popcorn and sodas besides. You can't do these things anymore. And so I don't understand. The rich get richer in this country. The poor get poorer. The Republicans favor the rich. No one can change my mind on that issue. They want to say they want the working public, the American people, that which was the middle class, pay the bills for those who are affluent in our society. They want to cut Medicare. They want to cut Social Security. They want to cut all kinds of programs to take care of little kids. They're talking about breakfast programs for kids in school they want to cut. And they don't want to cut or take away from the corporations and the very rich their special airplanes that cost millions of dollars that they have a tax write-off on because they use it in the operation of their business or their yacht that they entertain their clients on that might cost $3, $4, $5, $40 million. They're that big, my friend, with that some of these major corporations have, and they write them off because they're entertaining their clients. Not a fair situation. Something's got to happen here. I don't see the people getting mad enough yet, and that's what I don't understand. There has to come a point where people will say, I won't take it anymore. Obama's been elected, but he doesn't have two houses. He had his opportunity in his first 2 years, and he blew it. Because he couldn't control the Democratic Party. They tried to assert themselves in the House and in the Senate. I think if the House is taken over by the Democrats again in 2014, it'll be a different story. The president has to lead. The president has to direct. The Congress has to follow him if they are of the same party. Otherwise, things don't get done. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's doubtful whether the Democrats are going to take over Congress in 2014 because of gerrymandering that's gone on. But I think if the people are aroused enough, and I think they're getting there, but they don't say anything about it, then it will happen. So somebody call up and discuss this with me. I would love to talk to a black-hearted Republican, as I put it. Someone way to the right, even Tea Party people. I don't care who calls. I'm easily abused, my friends. Call and talk to me. The number is 646-478-5731. Sequestration is here. None of us ever heard of sequestration until about a year ago or 14 months ago, and none of us appreciated its consequences the last month. And I got to say this, I really don't know what the consequences are going to be. I mean, we've heard of the Democrats saying, oh, we're going to have to fire the teachers. We're going to have to fire the people who work at the airports, you know, to put us through the screening machines and everything, or furlough them, not fire them, lay them off for a while. Some people are only going to work 4 days a week instead of five, which isn't a fair situation because you need 5 days worth of money if you become dependent on it. And all other kinds of things aren't going to happen. Air controllers, we're going to have to get rid of some of them. And that means the flights will be fewer, the waiting lines at the airport will be longer. So far, nothing's happening. They said it wouldn't happen for 60 to 90 days. I'm anxiously waiting to see. Because in the reality of the whole world, $87 billion is a drop in the bucket. It's a drop of water in the ocean compared to our overall budget, which is, you know, our deficit and our budget, which is in the trillions. So it's chicken feed money. It's pocket money to these politicians, the way they pass bills for all kinds of other things. And sure, the military is going to get cut back and a few other things. I would assume this, but I don't see it as a big dramatic thing. And the authorities, the economists say it's really not 87, it's about $45 billion. That's a lot of money. But again, in the overall scheme of things with our national budget, water, another drop, it's a piece of sand on the beach or a drop of water in the ocean. Anyone disagree with me? Anyone want to talk to me? Please come on. I would be happy to chat with you. 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. The number is on that screen right in front of you. Last week, I was not surprised. I read that Anheuser-Busch, and all of you know this now, there was a claim, there have been several lawsuits brought, that Anheuser-Busch, beer manufacturer, was watering down 10 brands of its beer. In other words, the alcohol content, and people drink beer because it's got an alcohol content. They want to feel good a little bit. The alcohol content in the bottle was not as much or the same as what was on the label outside the bottle. Okay, now, interesting. Bud came out, and Budweiser is one of their beers. In fact, Budweiser, from what I understand, is the number one beer seller in the United States. Anheuser-Busch came out this week through a Budweiser ad, as I recall. And it was a funny ad. They made fun of the allegation or the representation that their beer was watered down. They said perhaps they were talking about a bottled water that we give to, we donated, I don't know how many thousands of cases to hurricane victims or some kind of situation where an area was in calamity and they sent free water. I don't know. I got a feeling this is corporate America hardlining the situation. They claim, as I understand it from what I've been reading, Anheuser-Busch claims that the difference between the alcohol in the bottle, what that's supposed to be in the bottle, and the alcohol that isn't in the bottle is very minute. I don't know if my numbers are right on, and I apologize if they're not, but what I'm talking about you will understand. And that is this. There's supposed to be, let's say, 5.0% of alcohol in the bottle. Okay? Turns out it's only 4.7 or 4.8. And Anheuser-Busch is saying, that's not much. I mean, this is within the, you can make an error, that area of error. They don't make mistakes. I don't buy it for two reasons. Number one, the claim against them has been that it's less and it's a near figure. Okay? 4.7, I think, was the figure in the representation. And they're saying, in effect, that's right. But this isn't much. When you're making all this beer, these things happen. It could be 4.9. It could be 5.1. I'd like to see a bottle of beer that comes up 5.1. But what they're doing is hardballing it. They're gutting it out with this ad that makes a joke of this whole thing. You have to appreciate, and no one has ever told this, but I'm telling you, that the difference between 5.0 and 4.7, as small as it is, results in millions of dollars in savings to Anheuser-Busch. That little percentage, think of all the beer that's sold in this country and worldwide, produced by Anheuser-Busch, that little percentage results in millions of dollars of extra profit in the corporation's pocket. That isn't right. You're buying 5.0, you should get 5.0, not 4.7. This is no different. This is no different than the Subway sub situation that came up about 3 months ago, in which I talked about at length on my television internet show and written about. Subway advertises that their subs are a foot long. Turns out, it's 12 inches. Turns out, it's only 11 inches. And all over the world, people went out and bought Subway subs and measured them. They all come up 11 inches. None of them come up 12 inches. Well, Subway comes out and says, we didn't really mean they were 11 inches. They were 12 inches a foot long. We merely said that for descriptive purposes. Those were the words used, descriptive purposes. I say bullshit. And that's the only way to put it, because, again, I'm going to show you, or tell you, rather, that inch that Subway saves on the bread, which also includes the contents, whether it's ham, beef, lettuce, or whatever, builds up that inch, saves millions of dollars every year, and makes for additional profit in those amounts for Subway. Again, if you represent something and you advertise it as a foot, or you advertise 5.0 alcohol, give the buying public what they think they're buying. Don't give them less so you can put more money in your pockets that are already overburdened with money. Somebody want to argue with me? Someone want to agree with me? someone wish to speak with me, the number is 646-478-5731. 646-578-5731. Okay. Now, if you like this show, and I know there's almost 1,800 people that must like it, they wouldn't have listened to it last week, or maybe it was a one-shot deal and they're not going to listen again. But if you like this, try to watch my television show. I do a television internet show out of Key West here. It's on Comcast Channel 87 and UVerse Channel 19, 10 o'clock Friday morning. Runs for an hour on TV. It runs all the way up through Miami-Dade County from Key West to there. The rest of the country and the rest of the world, you have to watch on the internet, and it's www.tvchannel19.com. Watch it. You'll like it. If you like this, you'll like that. You can see me waving my arms and yelling and screaming and making faces. The content's basically the same. I talk about many similar things. Then I write a blog every morning, and I really would appreciate you reading my blog. Thousands already read my blog. I've been at it for almost 8 years now. It's called KeyWestLou.com. Very simple. Type in KeyWestLou, L-O-U.com. My name's Lou, so I call myself KeyWestLou. KeyWestLou.com. I do a blog every morning. I think it's boring. I think it's mundane. Obviously, people don't. It's my life in Key West. Also, I get a little political on occasion and tell you what I think, like the Budweiser thing and the Subway thing. No middle class. I get involved in this stuff because I think these, some things are wrong in this country, and we have to yell a little bit. Maybe we can goose ourselves sufficiently to correct them. If you listen to KeyWestLou.com, I give you the day of my TV show, the day of this Block Talk radio show, and the day before, I tell you how to find these shows. So you don't even have to go fast and write anything down. Now, everything is in my blog, KeyWestLou.com. So again, I would appreciate it if you would listen. I think you will enjoy it. I talk about my family down there, my grandkids. They were in The Wizard of Oz 3 weeks ago. They were munchkins, how proud I was and how terrific they were. It covers the whole spectrum of my life in Key West, which hopefully is boring for me, but apparently exciting to everyone. And I think if you read it, you're going to get hooked on it like thousands of other people are and read it. It is, it's like one of those reality shows. It's my reality show. Okay, let's talk about something I learned this morning about Medicare. And this may be of special interest to those of you that are over 65 or are on Medicare for some reason already. And those of you who may soon be on Medicare. Now, I'm 77. I did not go on Medicare until I was 71 because I was working. And my firm provided me with a terrific package, which include a great hospitalization. So I figured whatever I had to be better than Medicare. And I just didn't go for the Medicare. I stayed with the firm's policy. But since in the last six, seven years, I'm on Medicare. Nothing like Medicare. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. Obamacare should have gone for the one-payer system, because if it's like Medicare, and it would have to be, it's wonderful. Now, why am I telling you about this now? When you go to the hospital and you're 65 or older, Medicare pays 80% of your bills. Not bad. And if you want the other 20% covered, and you should, you have to buy a small policy. I have a supplemental policy from AARP, or I buy it through them. It costs me nothing. I don't pay a penny when I go to the doctor, I go to the hospital. I never pay a penny for anything since I went on Medicare. I didn't pay before either. But this is as good as, if not better, than what I had with the firm. I also read in this article I talked about last week and wrote about, the Time magazine wrote, that said Medicare is actually cheaper in the final analysis than private insurance company plans because the government limits the profit that a doctor or a hospital may make to 6%, where the insurance companies make a hell of a lot more than that percentage-wise in profit. And because of that limitation, the writer said we should not raise people from 65 to 67 for eligibility or 68. We should lower it to 62 or 60 because it actually will be cheaper in the long run to do Obamacare through Medicare. I hope someday everyone is on Medicare, whether you're 1 year old or 101 years old. Okay, what did I learn now? We all know you go to the hospital, you're sick. They take care of you. You come home, you're all better. You went in for appendicitis, you come home with a staph infection. A woman has a baby, she comes home with a staph infection. Your mother goes in, she's 80 years old, and she's having incontinence, and they stick some little tubes into her, or even to her husband, and she comes home, and she's got a urinary tract infection. Or you pick up some germ that's only in the hospital, and it gets in your blood. Now you could die, and you're back in the hospital. All these problems occur when you are in the hospital before you're discharged. I am talking about medical problems that arise after a person is admitted to a hospital. They did not have this problem before admission, and as it turns out, there is no question with these specified problems, like a staph infection, that it occurred, that the germ occurred and got into them, or the bacteria, after they were admitted to the hospital. Well, I think it was 2007, Medicare said, hey, hospital, you caused the problem. You pay for it. We are not going to pay you for any of the specified after-admission illnesses that people come down with because you keep a dirty hospital. Your hospital should be cleaner. Now, I think Medicare is stretching it because I think there are certain diseases in the hospital you just can't eliminate. You hope you don't get them. But Medicare took on the hospitals and said, we're not going to pay you. Your responsibility, you caused the problem, and you can't charge the patient. Did you hear me? The hospital can't pass the cost off to you. And now the insurance company saw, gee, this is good. We don't have to pay as much money. So the insurance companies, being the whores they are, with all due respect, they follow suit also, as most of them, as Medicare has done. And for any after-acquired illness, after admission, they don't pay. And the hospital has to eat it. All right. Now, one of the ways of getting around this that the hospitals have, isn't this terrible? One of the ways they have of getting around it is, let's say you come down with an illness in the hospital that is an after-acquired problem. They take care of the problem that you went in for. They take care of the after-acquired problem, for which they don't charge you. Then they send you home, but you still have that after-acquired problem. The staph infection, the urinary tract infection, the blood problem comes back. Now what happens? Well, you're admitted to the hospital again, of course. And when you're admitted this time, though, the hospital gets paid. Because this is not an after-acquired illness when you go in the hospital the second time. The illness was acquired during the first hospitalization. Ergo, it's not after-acquired on the second. It's the illness that brought the patient to the hospital, so it's covered. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant on the part of the hospital in working this out. I don't know if it's brilliant on the part of the government in going along with it. I'll tell you this. I've been into Medicare now for several years, and I read a lot on Medicare. And I want to tell you something. Don't believe what the Republicans tell you. Don't believe what the insurance companies tell you. Don't believe what the doctors and hospitals tell you, that this Medicare is a terrible thing. It is a wonderful thing for the American public that is 65 and older. It's a terrific thing. It's not something for nothing. We all paid into the government for years. It's a good thing, and healthcare program with a lot of insurance companies ends up being with one payer like Medicare. It's there. The government can really control costs. Okay? The number is 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. Is there some reason why people don't call? The most calls I've had in a night or two, the least one, and sometimes none, more none than one or two. I'm becoming offended, but I'm not offended. I'll tell you why. Almost 1,800 people heard the show last week. I think that's wonderful. I'll call in. Listen, but I would appreciate someone calling in. Syracuse basketball. We're getting our asses handed to us. We've lost the last three games. We were in 12th place after the national rankings came out last week. I think we lost to Louisville and somebody else. I'm sure we're going to be about 15th or 16th when the rankings come out again. We play DePaul tomorrow. Then I assume we will beat DePaul. Then we play Georgetown Saturday. We play Georgetown Saturday at Georgetown. They beat us at Syracuse. They killed us in Syracuse. They took our game away from us in Syracuse. We deserve to lose. It's going to be an interesting game Saturday. If Syracuse has got it, they'll knock Georgetown off. If they don't, they ain't got it this year. I continue to be discouraged and disillusioned this season. I don't think Syracuse has it. Nothing wrong with that. We've had so many great years, and we've got great players this year. The whole starting five, the first six people on that team are terrific players. They haven't gelled. They haven't gelled the way prior teams have. So I don't see us in the Final Four. I hope I'm wrong. March Madness starts in 2 weeks. Next week we'll have the league tournament. But March Madness starts. And unless we really distinguish ourselves, Syracuse, and win the Big East tournament, which is going to be doubtful, we ain't going to be a first seed. There was a time a month ago where people were saying we had a good shot at being a first seed. We're not. If we're a fourth seed, we're going to be lucky. If we are fourth seed, I think we're going to be lucky. I anticipate we're going to end up being a fourth or fifth seed, which makes it a little bit harder. That's my feeling. I know I have friends out there who agree with me and disagree with me on the Syracuse issue. I'd be thrilled to hear from them, 646-478-5731. In any event, for anyone to call in, I'm down to 58 seconds left for this show. I thank you. I thank you for joining me this week. I thank you for listening in. I especially thank all of you who listen to the show when it's archived during the week. We are advertising it. I've got to tell you that 2 to 4 times a day it's showing up on Twitter, Facebook, and wherever else we can put it saying you can listen to our show, the Archive Block Talk Radio Show, and you are. And I thank you for it. I appreciate it very much. And I hope you are finding this show enjoyable. I hope you are finding it enjoyable.